I started with Genesis and Exodus and then came to the book of Leviticus. I'd like for everyone who meets in Phyllis's home, raise your hand, would you? Okay, everyone who meets in Mike Massengill's home, raise your hand. And all of those of you who meet in Atlantis' home, raise your hand. Okay? The next Wednesday, I don't know who arranges the chairs, but always on Wednesday, let's do it the other way. We started, brothers and sisters, in Genesis, and we talked about Adam meeting the Lord face to face in the garden. Then the book of Genesis ends with Lot. A man in a coffin, an individual man in a coffin. But Exodus 1 begins even worse, and that is a group of people in slavery and in bondage. But then where does Exodus end, brothers?
It's a land.
Amen, brother. It ends in the tent of meeting. And who is in the tent of meeting? The Lord God Himself is in the meeting where the tent is. And then, praise the Lord, we read
Leviticus. Leviticus what? Just anything that you can remember, any chapter references.
1 and 6 primarily. Now these are really important. And brothers, we said some pretty heavy things last week, and I don't know how to even begin tonight. I think I'm just going to do something a little differently. I'm going to read 2 verses of the scripture and let it go, and you're just going to have to believe the rest on it. 1 Corinthians 4, 10 through 12.
Yeah, full right.
Amen. Hey, it's 2 Corinthians. So that's the revamp. We're fools for Christ, so we do approve it in Christ. All right, 2 Corinthians 4. Always carrying about in the body the dying of Jesus, that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our body. For we who live are constantly being delivered over to death for Jesus' sake, that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our mortal flesh.
Wow.
Praise the Lord. Now, brothers, one other verse of scripture that must go along with that, and you know this passage, Sir. Romans 12:1. I urge you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice, acceptable unto God, which is your spiritual service of worship. And if you will notice in the margin, it says, there is a well-pleasing service of worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is the will of God, and what is good and acceptable and perfect. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living sacrifice. And I carry about in my body the dying of the Lord Jesus Christ, that through my body might be made manifest his living. And now then, brothers, just for the records, I'm going to tell you some passages, okay? I might ask someone to read Philippians 2, 7, and 8. But there is a list of the offerings in Leviticus 1, 1 through 17, and 6, 18, through 23. And then in Hebrews 10, verses 5 through 7, and then 9, and also in verse 14. Leviticus chapter 1, 1 through 17, and 6, 18 through 23. And brother, the last I gave was Hebrews 10, 5 through 7, 9, and 14. Then there is another passage that needs to be considered, and that is the burnt offering, which we're going to look at tonight. The burnt offering is spoken of in Numbers 28:2, and I think perhaps we should read this. Numbers 28:2. Command the sons of Israel and say to them, you shall be careful to present my offering, my food for my offering by fire, for a soothing aroma to me at the appointed time. Now that goes along with the passages in Deuteronomy 12, 8 through 14, Leviticus 1, 3, and I believe, brothers, that's enough. Leviticus 3, 11, and chapter 21, 6 and 8 all describe the burnt offering. Now then, my burden
lies within these two vaults right here. All right.
Brothers and sisters, a really heavy time.
If the Lord will be merciful to us.
I think I will begin simply by saying the Lord Jesus Christ, when we meet together, is very, very clear what he wants.
And when we meet together, the Father is very, very clear what he wants. I think, brothers and sisters, we're not very clear what it is the Lord is wanting, what the Father wants, and what the Son wants. So we're gonna have to get clear. Brothers, let me just begin this way. We have understood that Jesus Christ is our everything. Is that not true? You've come to know that at least Christ is a lot more than you ever thought he was. Now, then, we know Christ as our everything, but we must know Christ not only as our everything, but we must know Christ as our being and as our living. We must know him as our very day.
We must really know him as our everything. Now, brothers and sisters, when we gather, we must know Christ as our worship. Now, I'm going to repeat that. We must know Christ as our everything, but when we gather, when we get together in one place, we must know Christ as our worship. The only thing that we have as worship is the Lord Jesus Christ. That's all. He is our worship. Now, do you have that? Now then, brothers, the next thing that we talked about the other night was that the Lord Jesus Christ is our worship, but he is our worship to whom? And what does the Father do? What does the Father do? Well, I'm not making myself clear. What? Praise the Lord, brother. God made food. Praise the Lord. I said in Genesis, when it ends, you have a coffin. And in Exodus, when it opens, you have slavery. But then Exodus, when it ends, you have the tent of meeting. And all of the people are meeting, but they are meeting because God is there. Now, I want you to just tell me, what is God doing there? What is God doing? He is eating. What else is he doing? I would say, brothers, he is there receiving the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, do you know what the tent of meeting did? It's no small thing with that tent of meeting. You know what the tent of meeting did, Brother John? Brother Jeff John? Really, the tent of meeting did nothing less than get God out of heaven. That's what. But God out of heaven. God had been in heaven until there had been a tent of meeting, then God got out of heaven and came to earth. He got out of heaven to come to earth. Why? So we could have the Lord Jesus Christ as food. Now, are you impressed? I will tell you this. The Father was impressed. He got out of heaven to come get Christ as a meal. Don't just sit there. Say, God. Praise the Lord. God is in the tent. He is there just to get Christ. The only reason he came to the tent of meeting was to get the Lord Jesus. There was a place in the universe he could get the Lord, and it was in the tent of meeting. There were those who could bring Christ to him. And let's just consider this a minute, brothers. This is really great. Now, that tabernacle, it's the tent of meeting, but there in the closing part of Exodus. That's Exodus. Have you got it? It's the tent of meeting, and God came out of heaven because there was a tent of meeting. I'll talk about it a little bit further.
Yes, brothers. Well, before you walk out that door tonight, you'll know.
Okay, pray you want it. Yes, brother.
God wanted to cut him, or he could eat Christ. Was he eating the reality of Christ, or was he on the fixture of Christ when we do it in the new one?
Praise the Lord, brother. That's an interesting question. I will tell you something, brother. According to the best judgment I have, that's the best judgment I can have. The book of Exodus and the book of Leviticus were written for the church in Galilee.
Does that answer your question better?
Brothers, I am either a fool and desire to marry everyone, or
suppose the Old Testament is a picture for the church of the Lord Jesus Christ.
I am going to tell you what the book of Leviticus does tonight, except in a moment I'm going to ask my brother Dick, so he's going to have to answer before I do. Let him go. That is the book of Exodus closing. I want to talk about it a little bit more. The turning was God coming to Noah. It happened again in Jonah.
He turned inside a temple. And he moved about upon the earth.
That's the close of Exodus.
Are you getting it? That's the close of Exodus. God.
Pray for more. That is what I said to you, Dick. Baby Dick,
I know the book of Exodus, the book of Leviticus, being taught all over the earth. But brother, when you come into it, somebody teaches you all about Exodus, all about Leviticus, you come out and you're just so impressed with all you picked up with information. And brother, when you walk out the door, you have not improved in the presence of the Lord a bit.
And brother, we're not here to do that. We're not here to strip information and take out
one little book and put it in another little book, brother. We are for the true reality. We do that. That you must really learn to do it.
This book is for us to be something living. It's a mirror.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Okay. Hello, you brothers. The book of Exodus also is seen again in the book of Acts. There was another time that God moved out of heaven and came to the tent of meeting. When was this? On the day of Pentecost, there was a real tent on me.
God came out of heaven,
and he dwelt among men and met with them. And praise the Lord, when God came out of heaven in John 1:14, God met with man, and God spoke to man. And then on the day of Pentecost, God came out of heaven into the tent of meeting, and God dwelt in man and spoke to man. Now, I decided for you to look at this because, brothers, I really want you to understand what the tent is. And then, because we're going to pass the tent tonight. Last Wednesday, so we talked about the tent. I trust you will just get one word, the tent, in the book of Exodus. Praise the Lord. I don't mean to...
Did anybody go in there? Okay, very good. Brothers, sisters.
How can I make this clear? I think I can. I believe I can, Brother Dick.
You can.
I really can. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Thank you. Brother.
What is the tent? What is it? Tent of meeting. What's the tent of meeting? Huh?
Like, it's the dwelling place of God. But if you come to that tent, I'll tell you, you'll see some very interesting things. And I will just ask Brother Dick this. Brother Dick, which is first? The outer court, the holy place, or the holy of holies? Which is first?
All right. Brother, very well.
In the eyes
of God.
The holy of holies. Praise the Lord.
What inside the depths of the Holy of Holies is the Ark. The Ark is made of wood and gold. It is something of God and something of man. And it is there that the Shekinah glory dwells. That's where the presence of God is. I mean, brothers, it's just gold. It's just work.
But then you step out into the holy place, and you have to say that it got larger.
And you find more gold and more wood. What is the tabernacle?
I'll just say this, brothers. What is the ark? The ark has got to be the Lord Jesus Christ.
Then, my brothers, what is the tabernacle? It is the Lord Jesus Christ getting bigger. That's what the tabernacle is. It's the Lord getting bigger. It's the Lord getting bigger and bigger. It's God coming to man. And it's getting bigger.
I just would say this, brothers. The same thing happened on the day when the Lord Jesus Christ came to earth in flesh. He got bigger. God got bigger. And then
or elder, but because he got bigger. The tabernacle is just an expansion of the ark. And in it is God, and he is receiving Christ, and he is eating Christ. And praise the Lord, brothers and sisters, we have come to the tent of meeting to meet the Lord. And the Lord has come to meet us. Now then, I just say this before we leave the tent of meeting. Brothers, the tent of meeting makes it possible for us to meet God. And that's very simple. How can we meet God? The tent of meeting allows God to meet us. But how can we meet God? God can come to us, but how can we come to God? Maybe you're not clear, so I'll just give you this illustration. There is a tent of meeting, and it's all set up beautiful. This walkway. But if you walk toward it, you're going to find that you're going to hit an obstacle. And that obstacle is nothing less than the wall. You can't get in to where God is. What is that obstacle? It's a, well, somebody tell me, it's a fence. The fence. That fence is made out of white linen. That white linen represents the righteousness in God. Is that the only obstacle? Brothers, there is a second obstacle. The second obstacle, I would say, as you go in, is that you just find the whole place is covered with gold, which is more than God's holiness. A righteousness, it is of holiness. Then, brothers, another obstacle is the cherubims standing there. And they are really blocking you, and they represent God's glory. How are you going to get to God?
Through the blood. Move on.
Brothers, you get to the Lord by the offerings. The offering. The offering. I'm speaking more generally than you brothers perhaps are used to hearing this dealt with. The tent of meeting made it possible for God to come to man. Now, man's got to have a way to get to God. And brothers, it's by the offering. Well, now, what are the offering? What are the offering? The offerings are the Lord Jesus Christ. God says, I demand righteousness. And you say, I got it.
You demand, I got. I don't want it on my own. I don't want it on my own, but I will, because I have Christ. Then he's our little fool, and he demands holiness. And we say, Father, I got it. I got the right offering. You were and he says, I demand my glory. And you say, I've got
it. I have your glory, which is the Lord Jesus Christ. By the offering to God. Well, brothers, I ask you again, what's the tabernacle? Jesus Christ. I'm no metal. Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord. God comes down and evokes the life of man. So we come to Jesus Christ. Amen. Praise the Lord. Man wants to meet with God in the camp. Hours of earth.
He comes with Jesus Christ. God comes as far as Jesus Christ to meet him.
All right, brother. You're really hard on me, but all right, I will answer that question. My brother is asking a question. Brother, individually, I can really meet the Lord. But brother, in the tent of meeting, brother, it is very, very difficult. It just not put nigh impossible to meet the Lord. On any kind of real basis. Brother, I'm not trying to be exclusive, but I don't even want to finish the sentence, but just I'll be more clear in a few minutes. Yes, brother, that is correct. Why? Because here's the picture, and this was the purpose of God. And it is pictured in the Old Testament. It is proven in the New. Now, let's just repeat this, because I want to say something. What is the tent of meeting? Oh, praise the Lord. I'll now define it even more. The tent of meeting, the tabernacle, is Jesus Christ bringing God to us. And what are the offer?
Jesus Christ bring us to God.
You begin now. The tent of meeting is the place where God can come, and he comes because Christ brought God there. Then the Lord goes out, and he brings us to God.
The tent of meeting brings God to us, and the offerings bring us to God.
Jesus Christ brings God to us by being the tabernacle, and he brings us to God by being up.
Okay.
Now, have you got, brothers? All right, praise the Lord. I got two things to tell you. Praise the Lord. There's got to be a meeting, brothers.
That's simple.
There's got to be a meeting. Now, then, secondly, brothers, where is it going to be? Praise the Lord. I'm going to repeat that. First of all, brothers, where you got to have? Where you have to have?
Offering.
I'm going to ask you again because I want a more fervent answer. What's the first thing you got to have, bro?
I want to say, receive the Lord Jesus Christ as food.
And you meet God. Amen. And brothers, we'll find out in a minute, you get fed too. Now then, brothers and sisters, I'm going to ask my brother Dick. Brother Dick, if I had asked you a year ago, what's the book of Leviticus about? What would you have said?
I would have said that it breaks the Buddhist song.
Praise the Lord.
What I would have said.
Okay, I just said 2 years ago, brother.
2 years ago.
But Marvel, brother, you said it's the picture of Jesus Christ.
I ask you how to the picture of Jesus Christ.
I don't remember that.
I am going to tell you, I'm going to give you a definition. I am going to give you a definition of the book of Leviticus. And it's not like any other book, any other definition you ever heard in your life. Are you ready for this? The book of Leviticus is a book. It is a recipe book on how to prepare the Lord Jesus Christ as a meal for the Father.
Amen.
Now then, brothers, I dare you to take that definition and go back and read Leviticus and ever read it in death again.
Amen. His book
explains
how to prepare the Lord
Jesus Christ as food to serve the Father. Wow. Praise the Lord. How's that?
I will give you another definition of the book of Leviticus. The book of Leviticus is a picture of the church meeting. In meeting. It is a picture of the church in meeting.
Sometimes the church is not in meeting. Is the church in meeting tonight?
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Now did you get that definition? Brother Jonathan?
I know you know a lot about the book. Brother, you must never again minister the book of Leviticus as priest offerings and priest this and the priest that and the Levite this. Brother, it has now got to be a recipe book on how to prepare the Lord Jesus Christ to serve the wolf. It is a book that tells us how God comes to man and how we as man come to God. And we come by bringing the Lord Jesus Christ as offerings to the Father. Okay, I think you're still with me. Is that not true?
Well, Gene, interesting. Brothers, this is more than interesting.
Me. The very destiny of the church depends on our having a revelation. A revelation of this matter. Then, my brother, when you come to the tent of meeting, what do you bring?
Jesus Christ.
Anything besides
Jesus Christ? No.
If you bring something other than Christ, will you meet God?
No.
Will God meet you?
No.
Brothers,
this isn't a right matter.
Brothers and sisters, the book of Leviticus is a cookbook. It's a cookbook. It's a cookbook. And it tells you how to prepare the Lord. Now, the Father has furnished all the supply, but he can't cook.
Sorry, the Lord is not going to cook. He isn't going to cook. Now then, my brother, you can demand grace and say, I'm not going to cook either. And brother, you have that lawful right.
You know, I come to a clear understanding of grace every day. Grace is a funny kind of thing. Grace is almost like bait out there saying, how much do you love me? Just prove how much I give you grace. But it is not the main thing I want from you.
I want you all to know that God will not demand of you an offering when you come to the meetings,
the tent of meeting. He doesn't demand an offering. But brothers, he wants one. And I'll tell you something else. He needs one. I know you've never thought of God as being hungry. But quite frankly, brothers and sisters, God is hungry. And there's only one thing that will really satisfy him. And that is the Lord Jesus Christ. Are you a believer? Do you ever love the Lord? Kathy? Is that right? Kathy? Do you know the Lord is your Savior? And do you love him? And do you wish to satisfy him? Then, sister, you must learn to feed and serve the Father. According to Numbers, according to Leviticus 3, God needs food. Isn't it glorious? And Sister Vicky, little Sister Vicky, shall serve God. But there's only one thing he likes to eat. It's one thing. He likes to eat the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm going to tell you something else, brothers and sisters. Quite frankly, there's not anything else you like to serve.
Amen.
And I'll tell you something. There's nothing else the rest of the body of Christ wants to serve.
And there's nothing else that the rest of the body of Christ wants to see given to the Father. So, brothers, I will ask you that when we meet together, you must take yourself by the standard each time we meet. It's just the word I'm serving.
Am I serving a little bit of something else to get a point over it?
Or a burden out? Or to let the brothers know I'm a little bit ticked over something? Or is this the real reality of the Lord?
Those is very simple. All you have to do all day long is just labor. But I'm a Christian, Gene. I'm not supposed to work. That's right. You're not supposed to work, brother, unless you're working on Christ. As one thing, you can really work as a Christian, and that's to work on Christ. Brothers, listen, I am taking a stand here to know that the church of the Lord Jesus Christ that meets in this city must come like little ants all over town, brothers, and we'll all be together, and we're just crawling together, feel like this, and we're covering the earth, and when we come, brothers and sisters, just kind of covering the earth as we come. I don't know if you noticed when you come to the meeting, if you get here just about 20 or 25 after, it's just gorgeous. You see them covering the earth a lot and cover up.
Then, brothers, let that be that each one of us have wept the time. I mean, brought something of the Lord's Spirit to serve her. And the new has her.
And Lord, our Lord will not go home.
Now, that's going to make a real basic change in all our lives.
I want you to know we aren't there, brothers, but we're getting there.
Amen. Amen. We're going to make it.
We're going to make it, Brother Dick.
Amen.
Okay. I think we're clear up till now. All right? Yeah. Praise the Lord. Brothers and sisters, you know why God has the book of Leviticus? He has the book of Leviticus for the church in Galatia. If I didn't believe that, I'd sit down. My clearest understanding of the scripture is the Lord prepared the old as a picture for us. Sister Terry, you may not leave this room tonight saying, boy, I got some insight into the book of Leviticus. No. What you have to leave here tonight saying is, I got some
inside, into God in me.
And next week, sister, somebody asks you, where are you going? You tell them. You just tell them, I'll tell you where I'm going. Do you know where I'm going? You know where I'm headed? Praise the Lord. You can even be bolder than that. Where are you going tonight? I am going to meet God.
Where are you out of me? Ordering out a meteor on the table.
God is coming, but I'm going to soul them tonight. And I'm going to soul when the Lord Jesus Christ.
Just hear that iron call. Where are you going? I'm going to meet God. Out of that, Billy. Praise the Lord. But around there's the pair of meaning where he can meet mine. Yeah, for full of meaning where none can meet back.
It's a good size reason.
Well, Kyrie, what will you bring God when you come, brother? Well, I have been told, and I think that in a few places in the New American it is stated
that instead of using the word offering, the word is actually translated present. You're bringing a present to the Father. I was a meaning here and a depth here I just personally can't convey. It's something like this. I'm bringing you something, Father. I'm bringing you a gift. It's free to you. I labored on Christ to get it. And I'm bringing it to you, Father. But Lord, the Christ I labored on, I got free from you. And all I'm doing, Father, is just bringing the present back again. But brothers, there is something in this. There's just something in this. I cannot explain it, but there is just something in this that is very, very deep. We're bringing back to God that which he gave us. Now, I want to ask you, and this has really been a puzzle, brother, to Bible scholars all the time. When I bring the offering to the Lord, exactly what am I bringing? Can you tell me what it is exactly I'm bringing? Praise the Lord. Jesus Christ, I can have a better definition. If I may, Jesus Christ, experience.
Experience.
Now, Brother Dick, this bothers scholars.
Amen. Very bothered.
And Brother Dick, this is the problem. Romans 12:1 says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you do what? Present yourselves as a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God. Now then, I want to ask you a question, brother. What is that offering that you're presenting?
Jesus Christ.
I got
the five broken vines.
Okay, and that's the correct answer. And yet I just said we're presenting the Lord Jesus Christ. You got a problem. What are they offering? Praise the Lord, sister.
You better be careful. You just said the first time I've ever spoken, and look what I got. All right, that is... Someone said, we're just bringing the church. I like to say, brothers, there is nothing we can bring to the Father but the Lord Jesus Christ. There's nothing that we can bring except the Lord Jesus Christ, even to the Lord Jesus Christ. But how can we also present our bodies a living sacrifice?
Well, I answer that. What does God do when he receives the offering? He eats it. Praise the Lord. It is taken by fire, and the Lord takes it and eats it, right? What does the person who gave it do with it?
You eat it too.
Listen to Brother Dick. He also eats it. He also eats it. Praise the Lord. Brothers,
Hallelujah. What is the offering?
Jesus.
Praise the Lord. It is something of the Lord mingled there. Something of the Lord mingled in us.
It might be in its beginning an objective thing, but brothers, we experience him. We eat him. And then we have him. Then we have him as an offering to bring. And we give to the Lord. But Brother Dick, God takes the offering and eats it. I take the offering and eat it. Then there is something that's really important. What is it?
What is it? It's eating the Lord. That's what's important.
In a real way, I am limited. I can't really bring the Lord to the Father until I have eaten of the offering. When there is something of the offering in me,
then the Lord takes the offering and there's something of the offering in him. Well, brothers and sisters, I want to tell you something. The only thing you can offer up to the Father is the Lord Jesus Christ, but you're going to have to experience him before you can offer him. And the only way you're going to experience him is just doing exactly like they did.
You're going to have to sit down and eat the offering. We'll be much clearer on this in a few minutes, but I just want to say at this point, you got to eat the Lord Jesus Christ before he can be your offering to the Father.
Okay. Yes, brother. We haven't gotten there yet. Okay, brother.
We're just about to.
Well,
hard offering before they offered it to God.
I better. Here's what they did. I think the flimmer just waiting, and it'll be so clear to you in just a moment. Yes, brother.
What about the flimmer there?
Oh, and my brother wants to know about that. Can I wait again just a moment? Thank you very much.
I have this real desire that we sneak up and rest, okay?
That we really sneak up. All right. Would you mind from the five offering?
Your offering.
Their offering.
Bear.
Trip. PC. Okay. Which is the first one? Yeah, interesting. The bread offering is the first one.
Okay. I think that we can just show something here now. The bread offering is the first one.
Then I really dig, what is the bread offering?
Sure.
Oh, hallelujah.
All right.
That is the bread offering.
Other than the Lord, I catering give me a definition of the bread offering.
And why would it be first?
I believe Sister Granny knows a little bit.
Okay.
Something with flesh. All burners. Yeah?
Yes, you're getting very close now. It is the one of the five offerings. It is the one that is uttering totally and completely for God.
The giver eats none of it.
All of it go to God. And herein is our understanding.
Let me just tell you about the burnt offering before I tell you any more. I'm not going to tell you. Brother Dick, how's the burnt offering offered?
Okay, brother. All right, okay. The lamb or the offering, whatever it is slaughtered. And first, the
legs are offered to the Lord, and the inward parts are washed. First of all,
the offering is skinned. Secondly, the offering was cut to pieces. Then thirdly, the two things, the legs and the inmost parts are washed, and they are burned. Then, what is left, it's just ashes. And the ashes, huh? There's no mention of blood in this room. According to my best recollection, brother, this is not that offering. It is burned on the fire. The ashes are gathered together, and a very interesting thing is done with the ashes. What is done with that? Anybody know?
Hey, that's a different offering. They're all gathered in one little heap, and they're laid on the east side of the altar, and they are left there. I'm going to go over that again. I'm going to go over it. This is the burnt offering. It'll skin. Does anybody know what is done to the skin?
Wrong offering.
Wrong offering. Very rarely is the burnt offering ever paid any attention to. Brothers and sisters, the skin, only the skin, is given to the one who offered it. Tall.
The offerer lays his hands on the offering, just as they do in all of them. It has been cut up. It is killed, cut up.
The legs and the inmost parts are rushed with water. The whole offering is put on the altar. It is burned to ashes. The ashes are taken and laid on the east side of the altar. And that's for the church in Goleta.
Why is it the first mission in Leviticus? But maybe spiritually it is not the first offering, but it is the first offering mentioned here. Now, brothers, I'm just going to tell you this one thing. God is hungry for a burnt offering.
Are you with me here? God's hungry for a burnt offering, let's say no. My brother Larry, God wants a burnt offering.
And he wants all of it except the skin. He gives you a skin for a very good purpose. And the rest he takes. And he burns it to ashes. And it's a food to God. This is the offering in which we first learn that the burnt offering, that the offerings are food for God. And then I must define for you, brothers, what a burnt offering is. Why were God listed first before the sin offering, the trespass, the peace, or the meal offering? It's very interesting. It was because before even the sin offering or anything else is worthwhile, God demands an offering that is holy and totally and completely for him. And then I'm just going to turn that around and say, Brother John, are you holy for the Lord? Totally and completely. Brother Ebenezer, are you absolutely and totally holy, completely, unreservedly, 100% for the Lord?
Amen.
Brother Dick, are you utterly, completely? There is no ounce of your reserve, there are no reservations, there is nothing here back, that you are a being who is utterly, completely, at all times, totally.
Amen.
You haven't convinced me. Brother Dick, Brother Ebenezer, Brother John, I don't mean to embarrass you. I don't really disagree with you. But you are pretty crazy. There is no one totally holy or God.
You breathe well able.
That's right. Push your eyes just so. That's right. That's right. Okay. You know, it's impossible to read the Bible and be holy for the Lord. W-H-O-L-L-Y. We'll always read it for two reasons. One, to know the Lord, but also to get a little information. Is that not true? It's true. It's very true. Our praying is to minister to the Lord, but we always first consider that which brings us to prayer is a need every time. Is it not? Is it not? It really is. That is not being holy for the Lord. The Lord doesn't mind
The Lord really doesn't mind, but it's not be holy for the Lord, completely, totally for the Lord. Now, I'm not here to put you under a pile, brothers and sisters, and I'm not going to put you under a pile, but God wants an offering that is holy, totally, completely, absolutely for him.
You got the developer. Praise the Lord.
Mystery, Azerbaijan.
Purpose. Reverse, I wish I could stop there. I wish I could stop there. There are several things I must tell you. This time with us again, the offering was killed, cut.
The legs were washed, and the inmost parts were washed. It was burned.
The ashes are laid on the right side of y'all.
Brothers, a moment ago I asked you what the offerings were, and you gave me the real answer is the Lord Jesus Christ. And then I said, but brothers,
that is the tabernacle
of the Lord Jesus. But it emanates from the ark. The ark is the Lord Jesus, and then the tabernacle is the enlargement of the Lord Jesus Christ. What is the church?
Brothers, according to 1 Corinthians 12:12, the church is nothing less than the enlargement of Christ.
And God has come to earth because there's a church. The church got God out of heaven. It was the church that got God out of heaven. It wasn't the tent of meeting in Exodus. That was a picture of getting God out of heaven. The church gets God out of hell.
Amen.
And God wishes to come and move with man. And man wants to come and move with God. Living God lives after. And our after is Christ.
Therefore, brothers, you're going to get involved in the burnt offering. And I'm going to tell you something. You're going to get burnt. Have you ever been burned? We had a saying in this country, I got burned. No, you didn't. You got singed.
You got scars. It is only when you meet the Lord Jesus Christ that you get burned. And you really get burned. You don't just get burned, you get consumed.
Now, brothers and sisters, we come to
the altar with our offering, and we lay our hands on it, and they take it, and the first thing they do is kill it.
An offering in which there's killing. May the Lord help me.
Benedict, Jesus Christ is well satisfied to kill you.
Amen.
He really wishes to kill you.
Amen. Ebenezer,
Jesus, God wants to kill you.
I want to warn the brothers and sisters in this room just on a very simple thing. God's not nice.
God is out to kill you.
There are brothers meeting in the church in Goleta for one reason. It's neat to be here.
Just kind of fun. Well, Jim, you've been meeting here just a short time, and it's kind of neat, isn't it?
No way.
There, I'm not sure you're being wholly transparent with me. But...
kind of neat, but Bert, I will warn you.
God is out to kill you. And he will do it in the tent of meeting.
Amen.
That's where he does it. That's where the slaughter takes place.
Amen.
Well, in the meeting, oh, brother, I should qualify that. You're very good, brother. In relationship to the tent of meeting. In relationship to the tent of meeting. That's better. Well, brother, I have to bring my offering here. But in order for that offering to be real, I must have already experienced that offering. But I must bring it to the tent of meeting. I really do. And I don't have an offering, and I will not have an offering. And neither the Lord nor I can be satisfied unless it's brought to the tent of meeting. Brothers, you are going to learn something. I do not mean to be exclusive about the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ, but our offerings are almost worthless without the tent of meeting. We'll come to that in a moment. There is
it's no
accident that there's been no more growth or territory the Lord has gained in his children, because there's been no place to bring the offering. There's been no place for the offering to be properly cared for. And the satisfaction comes in the tent of the meeting. Brother, offering is brought from the home. All right, I just give an illustration. Do you know that the Lord has sent a killer into your life? Do you know who it is?
Oh, it's here.
Right here. Just, dear, little sister, dear, or smoke, sure. That's right. You watch out. You're going to go tonight. Better keep one out.
You get
Ebenezer.
Brother Ebenezer gets into an argument with his Sarai. And brother, at that moment, your opinions come out, your temper comes out, and the Lord simply wants at that moment to burn you up, to utterly, completely kill you. Until you just, everything about you was just consumed. And you had nothing to say, and you have no sense of feeling about it. Brother Dirk, the Lord sent Servia them to your life.
Praise the Lord.
For your murder.
Amen.
And your demise.
That's really true, brother. The Lord sends our children, our lives, and the brothers and sisters. We holler because of our brothers and sisters. But you must realize that it was nothing less than the Lord's desire to murder you, to literally kill you. Your wife is a killing instrument. John Braun, you married a murderer. It is really true. And brothers, whom you are a burnt offering for the Lord, there'll be no arguments around the home. There'll just be fire, brothers, and there'll be death but kill. And then there'll be an offering to bring to the house of God. Brothers, the next time you feel the knife and you begin to stop it, you begin to stop it. Brother, you're only frustrating the Lord having his offering, his burnt offering. Now, let me just say, brothers, can you agree with the killing? I just love it. But it was just so willing to be willing. Brother Brooke, I want you to know something. You can't either. But it was just not in you to be killed. And that's why the Lord gave us the skin. All we can do is just be covered. All we can do is say, I take the offering as my covering. I identify with it. Only the Lord Jesus Christ can willingly be killed. All I can do is, Sir Laird, cover me, put me in you, make me a feather of the offering. I really, Lord, I run away. I'll never make it. Cover me and let me be part of you as the offering. Let me be in you, Lord, when you're consumed. There is only one life in the universe that will willingly be killed. I tell you, I just don't think I've ever gotten this over to the brothers and sisters in Goleta. I'm going to try one more time. But before I do, I just want to finish this offering. It is killed, cut,
and its strength was in its legs. Do you not know, brothers, the strength is always in the legs?
Do you know that the Lord Jesus Christ even had to lose his strength?
And he earned obedience by suffering.
The Father broke his strength. You read in the garden,
Jesus Christ had his strength broken there.
The Lord Jesus Christ was able to withstand the cross by his own strength.
That's what I said to the devil.
The Father broke that strength. When the Lord prayed, not my will, yours be done. The Lord Jesus Christ had a will in opposition to the Father. I don't think you ever heard that before. But that was his humanity. Brothers, listen to it. Not my will, yours.
Now, are those two wills for one? Those have to be two wills.
Wow.
Huh? Oh, no, brother.
No. I will oppose to the Father only when it's put in opposition.
Brother, I can come to the Lord and say, Lord, I don't want this. I don't want this. But I give up. It was only when I oppose him with my will. The Lord Jesus Christ did not oppose, but he had a desire. He had a will. He had strength in his legs. And it was washed.
It was washed. It was cut and washed.
And then he was utterly consumed. Now then, brothers, I wish to try to explain something to you. The only way you can bring an offering to God is to experience it. The only way you can bring an offering and to really identify fully with that offering is to eat it. And by eating the offering, more and more of that offering gets into you. You got to eat first to know the Lord. You got to inform until he gets deep in you. Do you understand? And then when he gets into you, brothers, there is something deep within him that will be in you. And Brother Dick, it is nothing less than murder. It is nothing less than the killing.
I've got to get this over. That underbone got me so in the heart.
Part of God is being...
This from over. I better say something later tonight.
Brothers, I want you to know the older you get and the longer you live, you're going to learn that deep within him is a consuming altar.
If you don't believe that, then don't ask John, don't ask Al, don't ask Dick, don't ask me.
Go ask Sister Granny. And I've never asked her, but I know she knows.
Because she's walked with the Lord for a lot longer than him. And you'll find in the very depths of God
a desire for killing them.
Now, brothers, you don't seek it. You don't seek it. It is just there. All you do is you put on the covering. You put on the covering and say, Lord, I identify with you. I just identify with you. I am covered by the covering. Brothers, all I got to say to you now is
that is one of the offerings God wants brought to the real Levitical priest by the real Levitical priest to be offered in the real tent of meeting. Brothers, out there tomorrow is the experience of being killed, cut, separated, sweet, broken, and then lashed by the Lord. It's out there. And all you can do is touch his eye. Here is the only eye that can be consumed. Eat it. Know it.
experience of and God of suffering.
And then brothers and sisters bring it to the tent of me.
And when it goes up in flame,
hallelujah, it'll be a sweet savor to the Father. The Father will be so satisfied.
How do you know he is satisfied? It's very simple. You're satisfied.
Everybody can smell the aroma.
Are you clear?
Oh, brother, go ahead, Ravon.
Brother.
All right.
Brother,
we have got to come and put our hands on the offering. And we must say, Lord Jesus, I just can't be killed. I run. But I put myself on this altar with you, Willie. Don't let me escape. Even when I run, don't let me escape. Remember, brother, we got to eat the Lord, very simply.
It is not when the crises arise
that all the things in the heavens take place. It's in the simple eating of the Lord that allows you, brother, to die in that moment.
Brother Al Heffer, I want you to know I understood that question because, brother, I have been there many times.
I have a killer in my home. Just a little girl. Just hardly 5 feet tall. Very sweet and very precious to all of you, but to me, she's a killer. And I have lived with her now, very 20. And praise the Lord, I tell you, I am a killer to her. We really are killers to one another. Brother, I just speak with gray hair.
Eat the Lord.
Really?
Eat the Lord.
Come and put your hands on the offering and say, Lord, I too will be consumed. Let me be killed. Let me be burned up. He'll make it, brother. Maybe you won't make it all the time, but he'll make it. Eventually, Al Hafner, you're going to the altar. If you'll just do those two things. If you don't believe it, you inquire a little bit. I got two more things to say. The ashes are put on the altar on the east side.
Is that right?
Sister, would somebody point out east to me, please? Which way is north? I don't mean east. Which way is north?
Wait. This is north. East is on this side.
That's the button I tell this way. I twisted the dial.
I don't know. I really am at a loss. If it faces, sister, I have to go ahead and get a pencil and paper to tell you. If it faces east, it's on the east side. It's on the front side. Praise the Lord. It's on the front side. It's right in front of you, sister. Thank you. Praise the Lord. But there are some offerings put on other sides. Why the east side? There's a very simple reason. Brothers and sisters, the east side of the altar stands for the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. All of those ashes are piled there, burned to a crisp, utterly useless, utterly wasted, utterly broken, utterly destroyed, nothing left but ashes. And then piled on the east side of the altar. And the Lord says, just leave them there. There's going to be a resurrection. And it always is. Brother Watchman Nee wrote a little book, Ashes, I believe. Have you ever read it? All that God wants to do with his children is to reduce them to ashes.
That's all. Well, God's ultimate desire is to reduce your anxious.
Isn't that neat? And then put you on the right, on the east side of the altar. Now, brothers, that offering was not a once-for-all offering. It is still an offering for today. It's still for today. Now, I want to quote a verse of Scripture to you you're all familiar with. Oh, Lord, we offer ourselves here in Galilee. Lord, let there be here in this building when we meet together the burnt offering. Lord, let us see it. Let us know it. Let us rejoice in it. Let us see it heaved up as nothing but the Lord Jesus Christ, with all abandonment, Lord, to everything else, recklessly desiring to be killed. Roar, this kind of an offering from your children. Brothers, there's a verse of Scripture. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. Brother John Braun spoke over one night so beautifully at the at one of the buildings in Romans 9:10-11. Romans 9:10-11 come out before Romans 12. And they are about the Jews not knowing the Lord and God's way to find God's way of doing the Jews to know the Lord. I just held my breath when John brought that message. I was just waiting for one word.
Would he make it?
I didn't tell this one after. I just held my breath. Would he make it? And then John said it. He said, Romans 9:10-11 is concerning the Jew, that the Lord might have the Jew and the Greek, that he might have his one new man. That's the church, buddy. And then in the presence of all of these mercies, and this is Romans about 4 all the way through 12, the mercy of God. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God. God finally got his man, and what's the first thing he wants to do with him? Destroy him. Oh, that's how he builds the church. That's how he
builds the tabernacle. That's how God gets the man. That's how God gets the God.
We bring the offering to him. And we meet him.
Praise the Lord. Better is the Lord Jesus Christ just wants one big butter. Total.
Consuming. A burnt consecration offering. On the offering.
I really don't know anything else to say to you. Except
the book of Leviticus was written for the church in Galilee. And this is the first offering. I look forward to the day when over in Phyllis's house there's this one burnt offering after another offering. I look forward to the day when over at Lance Solander's house just one great corporate burn. Oh, today I knew the Lord's coming. I woke up in the morning eating him, and at 3 o'clock in the afternoon I saw the knife, and the Lord, by his life, just took the offer. And I'm here in the tent of meeting tonight to really offer up the consummation. I look forward to the day when over in Mike Maxenville's house, and if it gets too big, we're going to move it over to Dave Washburn's house, when there's this one great corporate burnt offering. Lord, we lay down our lives to you. We are here in this town to be consumed.
This is your Lord.
And this is the offering. And oh, brothers, I just want you to know, when you see it,
It's going to be so sweet. And the tabernacle is just going to be filled with the aroma. And the presence of the Lord will be so real. And when we go out, God and man are really going to be satisfied. Praise the Lord, brother.